Welcome to the Locked On Grizzlies podcast, and this is part two of our conversation with Joel Mullinax. In the first episode, obviously we talked about the very important and critical issues at hand facing our world right now, and we talked about the return to the NBA, and from a general perspective of the league, how all of this is going to go into play and the significance of it. But this time, we want to focus on the reason why we're here, and that's the Memphis Grizzlies. And again, joining me is Joel Mullinax of Grizzly Bear Blues. How are you again, Joe?
I'm doing well, Sean. Thank you for having me. For those that heard the end of episode one, for the record, Mark King and I are friends. I just like to give Mark King a hard time. And if you've listened to this podcast when I'm on it, you know that it's a friendly relationship. Mark was my associate editor over at GBB. He did a great job for us there. So I love you, Mark. I'll talk to you soon.
Joe, you're too kind to him. Don't.
Oh, I love you too, Sean. You already know that, though. That's an unspoken love. It goes without saying.
Well, part of the reason why me and you are good colleagues is because of our mutual ribbing of Mark King. So let's never lose sight of that. Just kidding.
I think that's important to keep. When we hung out at the draft party last year, which obviously there won't be a draft. Spoiler alert, there won't be a GBB draft party this year. But last year when we went, it was a lot of fun. And our mutual ribbing of Mark, as you put it, was a big part of that. So it was a good time. And I agree. I'm glad you're working with Mark on this podcast. Mark does a great job. He's taken Locked On Grizzlies from Peter Edmiston and made it continue to grow it. And I know you're going to do the same. So it's fun to be on talking Grizzlies basketball with you guys.
Always a pleasure to do that, and always a pleasure to talk to you as well. And let's get right into it. So, Joe, you had a busy day over at Grizzly Bear Blues. We talked about a couple of your, pieces over there in episode one, actually all three, but really want to focus on the Justice Winslow one, as I think that is what we need to focus on. And that is that, the Grizzlies, basketball is here. And while we were talking before the season was suspended about the joys of a playoff push, an unexpected playoff push, how nice it was to have that back, we're basically going to get that enhanced now. And so going into this, you broke down kind of what your thoughts are of the Grizzlies, rotations and depth. And to me, their bench through 65 games of the regular season was their biggest asset. I think that remains. Their depth in terms of a full second unit and in certain situations is an amazing asset. I think that puts them on par with some of the better teams in the NBA. Going into this setup, what do you think the Grizzlies' biggest asset is? What do you think will emerge as the biggest reason? Whereas, and you put it in episode one, the Grizzlies could put a couple of teams on upset alert and pull some upsets.
I think the biggest thing that they have going for them is versatility. They have very few players that are only one position. Parker Fleming over at GBB, our associate editor there now, who took over from Mark King when Mark departed. He talks about positionless basketball a lot. And I like to make fun of Parker because he's young. And I think he sounds very hip when he talks about positionless basketball at times. And I am the opposite of hip. I might break a hip trying to be hip like Parker. But as far as the Grizzlies, obviously Ja Morant is a point guard in terms of traditional groupings, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 on the floor, point guard, shooting guard, small forward, power forward, center. Ja Morant is a one. Gorgui Dieng is a 5, and so is Jonas Valanciunas. But beyond that, Jaren Jackson Jr. can play the 4 or the 5. Same thing with Brandon Clark. You have Kyle Anderson who can play 3, maybe 4 positions on the floor. Same thing with Josh Jackson. Justice Winslow can play the 2 through the 4. Tyus Jones is probably a true 1. But De'Anthony Melton can play the 2 or the 1. In a small lineup, he can play the 3. Dylan Brooks can play multiple wing positions. So there's lots of versatility to the lineup, and they can kind of mix and match with what the opposition is doing. I've talked about this before in articles over at grizzlybearblues.com. Whenever you have a lineup that you can kind of counter what someone else is doing, it's like a fastball to a changeup if you're a pitcher. Right. If you set up somebody with a fastball and the fastball and then you throw the curve, that's your strikeout pitch. So if you're the Grizzlies and you have a lineup that's your starters, let's assume the starters are Ja Morant, Dylan Brooks, Justice Winslow, Jaren Jackson Jr. and Jonas Valanciunas, which is a pretty solid starting five. And that's probably what the starting five will be going into December and January when the 2020-2021 season starts. But if you start with that starting five and you look at what they're capable of and you feed Jonas Valanciunas in the post early and often, you let him get his offensive rhythm going. And then all of a sudden your first substitution is Brandon Clark and Jaren slides to the five. Your second substitution is Josh Jackson and he comes in for Justice Winslow. And now you're looking at a lineup that has a little bit more versatility offensively, a little bit more shooting, a little bit more ability to switch on the perimeter with, you know, Jaren at the five and Brandon Clark at the four. I flirted with the idea because people need to remember Justice Winslow played some point guard for the Miami Heat when he was there with Pat Riley and Eric Spoelstra. So a lineup of Justice Winslow, Dylan Brooks, you know, Josh Jackson, Kyle Anderson, Brandon Clark, that's not outside of the realm of possibility. And every single person on that lineup is at least 6 foot six. So you want to talk about switchability on the pick and roll. You can do that easily. And there's no question that, you know, Brandon Clark can defend a guard if he has to for a possession, or there's not really a weakness there. So it all comes down to how Taylor Jenkins wants to implement the opportunity he has in front of him. And then as far as the wings go, you insert Justice Winslow, you assume he's going to start, or at the very least, even if they make him a reserve, he's going to play 24, 26 minutes a game. I think I had him at 26 minutes in my article today. Now you're looking at Kyle Anderson and Josh Jackson competing for minutes. And Josh Jackson has earned to be at the table for that conversation because of the way that he played when the season was suspended. So you go into this scenario where it's not just you competing with your opponents down in Orlando. You start training camp competing with your teammates for playing time because it's not guaranteed that Kyle Anderson's going to play. He didn't play when Jay Crowder and Solomon Hill were here. So if Josh Jackson comes in and he outplays Kyle Anderson, and Josh Jackson is a better offensive weapon as a scorer than Kyle Anderson is, Kyle may have him as a facilitator and Kyle may have him as a defender, but Kyle had Jay Crowder and Solomon Hill in those areas too. And because Crowder and Hill were more threats to shoot the three, not necessarily to even score the three, but to at least shoot it, it's possible that they decide, since Taylor Jenkins has a history of benching Kyle Anderson in favor of other players that are offensive threats, I could definitely see Josh Jackson beating out Kyle Anderson. I don't know that I would do that because I really appreciate Kyle Anderson's game, but it would be nice at times for a Tyus Jones or John Morant kick out to the corner to not be a slow pump fake and dribble drive from Kyle Anderson and to be a three-point attempt from Josh Jackson. And that is more likely, that spacing, that versatility, that motion in offense, it all fits better now with Justice Winslow in the mix. And that competition will give them a little bit more heat during this, you know, self-imposed training camp where they're just going to be around each other for several weeks trying to get ready for whatever these playoffs are going to look like.
And the other thing that I'll say about this is the versatility that is certainly there. I agree with you. I think the depth versatility, I think that the Grizzlies roster, the development that it's shown, has made it to where they could feature both of those aspects to a level that's elite. You know, it's a true asset even against the NBA's best teams. But you also mentioned about training camp. You mentioned that was an added benefit from all of this, you know, within this season. Do you expect to see any new wrinkles? Or like, for instance, I know me and you have both mentioned in articles maybe seeing more off-ball opportunities for John Morant. Do you expect for there to be any clear wrinkles added now that Justice Winslow and our roster is healthy through training camp? Do you think things are kind of going to stay as is? And what would you do? What wrinkles would you add to make the product better and give us a better chance against, you know, the NBA's best?
Starting Justice Winslow first and foremost, and I wrote about that in the Justice Winslow effect, and I'm a big Justice Winslow fan, which is probably doomed for him because I seem to like wings that are injured or have problems. So he might be, you know, entering the Chandler Parsons, Jeff Green stockpile of trash that I've ruined as a blogger, as a perimeter player, but hopefully that doesn't happen. I think integrating Justice Winslow is going to be very valuable during that training camp. I think allowing Kyle Anderson to be a reserve to play that stretch four, and I use stretch very loosely because he doesn't shoot the three very often, but the fact that he can be a point forward is probably a better way to describe him and create. He can be an early sub, and he can continue to kind of be what Justice may be for a Ja Morant and let Ja be more of a scorer on the wing or on screens, backdoor cuts, that sort of stuff. It just really will be interesting to see how they implement a Justice Winslow, or how they allow for a Gorgui Dieng to eat into the minutes of Jonas Valanciunas, because obviously Valanciunas is a dominant rebounder, a dominant post scorer. It's probably fair to argue at this point that Dieng is a bigger threat from three. So the pick and pop game with a Jaw and Gorgui Dieng might hit, depending on the opponent, better than Jonas going down in the post and trying to body the big-bodied LA Lakers. I mean, the Lakers are massive. They have multiple bigs that can contest with Jonas. So it might be an interesting wrinkle to try to become more perimeter-centric. And that's not to say that Valanciunas can't hit the three, because he can. Maybe he just shoots them more, and that solves that problem. But how they counteract, obviously, the eight-game sprint to the playoffs, whatever the play-in looks like, and the finalization of that, as we'll get in the next couple of days, I think the major wrinkles will be in how Jenkins decides to try to get the most out of John Morant as a scorer, trying to allow for him to continue to get his teammates involved early so they have confidence late in games, but understanding that his bread is going to be buttered, so to speak, by John Morant and his fourth quarter performances. We saw that time and again before the season was suspended, and it's only going to become more and more of that. I think getting Jaren Jackson Jr. To be that true 1B to Morant's 1A is going to be important, getting him comfortable in offensive sets, letting him take guys off the dribble. Jaren's going to be more athletic and more laterally quick than some of these Lakers guys, if the Grizzlies are fortunate enough to get that far. So allowing him to display some of those guard skills he's worked on. Thinking outside of the box, I think whenever you're in a pandemic situation where the world's on fire around you, and you're struggling to even find a way to resume basic things like professional basketball, you can kind of throw caution to the wind a little bit, and it allows for you to experiment and try to find ways to take the opponents off their guard, because the Grizzlies were supposed to be one of the eight teams that aren't coming to Orlando. We have to remember that. Memphis was expected to be one of the worst seven or eight squads in the entire association. We were debating whether or not they'd be able to convey the pick to Boston this year. That was the goal. Now that's a lock almost at this stage, unless the Grizzlies completely fall off a cliff. And obviously we need to see how the lottery plays out. But the fact that Memphis is where they are, it's icing on the cake. If they go and play the Lakers and get swept in four games, who the hell cares? No one expected them to be here. So you can get a little bit weird and see who fits with Ja and Jaren in ways that are a little bit more unique, so that you have a grander perspective of where you're going as a organization long-term. The Justice Winslow trade wasn't about this season, like I mentioned earlier and like I wrote about over at the blog. It was about next year. It's a gift that he's going to be in your lap right now. They were content with letting Winslow sit out and get healthy as he can and maybe join for the stretch run, but they were thinking long-term with Justice Winslow. So the fact he's here and possible for them in terms of the rotation is unexpected, just like the season itself was for Memphis. Use this moment to see who fits and how you can make the opposition uncomfortable, given the versatility that you now have added to with Justice Winslow in the fold.
And the thing that I will definitely say is that it's going to be fun to see, and it's going to add value, just this opportunity to really, you know, again, not only the opportunity to be on this stage, but the preparedness that the Grizzlies have, you know, really utilizing that time to build chemistry and, you know, build new wrinkles to throw at teams, I think is going to be important. You know, something that will also add value to your day is one of our travel sponsors, Built Bar. Built Bar is a protein bar that mixes health and good taste. You don't usually get that in a lot of protein bars, but with Built Bar, you certainly do. My favorite is the peanut butter, and it's just an amazing combination of taste and health. The thing that I'll say is that, you know, the reason why I'm such a believer in Built Bar is because you can fit it in any part of your day. You know, morning routine, when you're doing a workout, listening to Locked On Grizzlies, after a walk, whatever it may be, Built Bar can be a good part of your day. And for a limited time, for right now, as a matter of fact, you can go to BuiltBar.com, put in the promo code Locked On, and get $10 off your first order. I have a good feeling it won't be your last. That's how good these things are. But for right now, you can certainly go to BuiltBar.com, put in the promo code Locked On, and get $10 off your first order. We'll be right back with the second segment of this Locked On Grizzlies podcast with Joe Mullinax. So, Joe, getting back to the Locked On Grizzlies podcast, we've talked about, you know, the players in depth, especially Justice Winslow, implementing the new players, getting players back healthy. But a lot of it also comes down to Taylor Jenkins, as it should. And just like this team in general, and he's been a big reason why, Taylor Jenkins, I believe, is passed with flying colors. Just, you know, like you said, we thought he was going to do a successful job if we conveyed our pick this year. This man sat here and came out of nowhere, made us, you know, into a playoff team, as well as one, you know, coach of the month in January. So my question is this, you know, how big of a test do you think this is for Taylor Jenkins? Do you carry the same mindset as this is just icing on the cake for him like it is the players? You know, it really doesn't impact your opinion of him. Or do you feel while he has passed with flying colors through the regular season so far, are you going to put a lot of focus on how he handles this situation in terms of the opinion that you have for him in the present and the future?
Well, it certainly doesn't make me think his job is on the line by any stretch of the imagination. In the past, we've had these conversations, and is Dave Yeager, David Fizdale, JB Bickerstaff, are they going to be, you know, still employed by the Grizzlies? Are they coaching for their jobs? Taylor Jenkins wasn't in that boat to begin with. He was a long-term hire, and he's only proven that Zach Kleiman and Tayshaun Prince and all those guys in the Grizzlies front office, they nailed it. They got a guy who's going to grow with the group, and I think he really has done a magnificent job utilizing what he has and maximizing it. But at the same time, I think it's fair to say, there's a quote, or I'll paraphrase and I might butcher it. Adversity doesn't build character, it reveals it. I would apply the same kind of concept to leadership. And I think that how you lead, especially a group of young people, how you lead them during these circumstances is really going to bear watching. And it's not even just the unprecedented events of COVID-19. It's the George Floyd murder. It's the protests that are going on right now. It's a league that is predominantly Black getting back to work and being a white coach in that situation and having to have frank conversations and be honest with your situation yourself and allowing those players to speak to their minds and to their hearts. And there's so many layers that a young coach is going into dealing with as the season resumes. Nobody in the history of the National Basketball Association has dealt with something quite like this. And obviously there's 21 other squads they're going to have to deal with a similar situation. For Memphis, it's unique because they're so young. It's unique because Taylor Jenkins is so inexperienced in terms of head coaching reps. It's going to be trial by fire. And I don't necessarily think that I'm going to judge him more, like think that he's not cut out for the job. Again, these are uncharted waters. Nobody's going to bat an eyelash if they struggle because of what's happening, especially because of that youth and inexperience. But at the same time, I do think it's an open window into how somebody like Taylor Jenkins views his role as a leader among all of these young players and what he is going to do to make them as comfortable as possible, to have them as prepared as possible, and to get them in a place mentally and physically to compete at the highest level, because they're going into a hornet's nest. They're going into the third circle of hell, so to speak. The Bill Paxton in Aliens, first class ticket to hell going down, right? That's pretty much what they're going into in terms of their schedule. It's a Memphis versus everybody kind of thing. They got five teams chasing them. They're going to have to show some toughness. They're going to have to show some grit and some resolve. And I think they can do it. And I think Taylor Jenkins can as well. But it's going to be a test. It's going to be a real test of what they're made of at an early stage of the rebuild. And it's a learning experience that hopefully they're going to take full advantage of.
Joe, when it comes to Taylor Jenkins and his performance so far this year and what you're hoping to see from him in terms of this, you know, a playoff style format, what has been the most unexpected or most delightful thing about him that you didn't expect? What's been the biggest unexpected positive you've seen from his style of coaching so far?
I didn't expect for him to relate to the players as well as he does. You know, they really do appear to respect him on a variety of levels, personally, professionally. You know, this is a guy who's not a traditional basketball mind. He fits the mold of a Zach Kleiman, a Jason Wexler, you know, these other folks in the front office that are not, you know, basketball lifers. You know, Taylor Jenkins is not a basketball lifer. He got a degree outside of basketball. He was fortunate enough to have a relationship in the San Antonio Spurs organization that allowed for him to build his way up and earn his way and get that foot in the door, so to speak, when it comes to being an NBA head coach or an NBA coach in general. So I do think that it's going to be interesting to watch him continue to grow, my biggest shock has been how much they've bought into him. Because I go back, and part of that's a young team, because you go back to Dave Yeager when he took over and he wanted to implement a few of the things that Taylor Jenkins is doing now with the Grit and Grind Grizzlies. And of course, that didn't take. And, you know, in a few months, they were back to Zebo ISOs on the low block. But now with a different group of players, obviously younger, more impressionable minds, he has their ear in a way that I wasn't fully anticipating this early in the process. And that speaks to the work that he puts in. It speaks to the relationships that he's built. And it speaks to his knowledge of the game. You know, when you are a professional athlete, you don't get to that level by just being lucky or just being super duper athletic. At some point, you had to put in some time, some work. You had to, you know, put in the reps, so to speak, the man hours to get to that point. You're around a lot of coaches. You're around a lot of handlers, scouts, all sorts of different things. An NBA player is going to be able to see through BS. And I think that they believe that Taylor Jenkins is legit, that he's valid, that his basketball acumen is sound enough, or even better than sound, that he's worthy of their attention, and it's paid off. The chemistry from coaching staff to player has been noticeable, and I'd say that's one of the biggest surprises for me. I thought that would take longer to achieve simply because of the inexperience of Taylor Jenkins and the players themselves at the pro level, but it's actually been the opposite. They've taken that and used it as a unifying factor, and the Grizzlies are better for it.
Agree completely, and seeing that click, that cohesion there, as quickly as it developed, it's definitely helped this year. But just seeing that trust there between both players and coach, I think, is a big asset for the future. Before we get to the final part of this podcast, I do want to remind folks of Blinkist. Blinkist is an app that you're able to view on your phone, your tablet, wherever you may do a lot of your business. And the great thing about Blinkist is it takes the works from thousands of nonfiction pieces, books, whatever it may be, and puts them into 15-minute pieces, ones you can read, ones you can listen to, and it just allows for you to get educated and become a better professional, a better you on a lot of different subjects. And what you can do right now is you can go to Blinkist.com, and you actually have the ability to go there, try their 7-day free trial, and get 25% off if you go to Blinkist.com/NBA. Again, that's Blinkist.com/NBA. 7 days free plus 25% off your subscription. It's a great way for you to learn about a lot of new subjects that you've been putting off for a while. Well, now's the time to do it. Definitely go to Blinkist.com/NBA. Try it for 7 days for free and get 25% off your new subscription. We'll be right back with you to end this episode 2 of our conversation with Joe Mullinax. Welcome back to the Locked On Grizzly Podcast. And Joe, I want to wrap up with this one question. And I think that it's one that I particularly am going to be looking at, just because it's going to be interesting to see with an offseason that already is going to be interesting for plenty of reasons outside of the NBA. And that is, you know, like you said, you shouldn't probably put a lot of stock into what's going on during this play-in format, because it's just the circumstances are so surreal. But I do think that there could be some things to watch as far as how this roster, a roster that's pretty locked in with its significant pieces over the next few years. But I really think that in this time, you're going to get an idea of who may not be around for the long term. But beyond that, do you feel that fans or the front office, do you feel that they should look at how the Grizzlies perform during this time? And do you think it's smart for them to get an idea to see how this group works as far as what future needs may be, or who may or may not be here long term going into the 2021 season and beyond?
Well, it remains icing on the cake, like we talked about earlier. And I do think that perspective needs to be kept. If the season played out the way that folks thought it would, the Memphis Grizzlies would probably be on the outside looking in of this 22-team format. So be grateful that we still have basketball to write about and talk about, because it's very likely that after this gets passed on Thursday, the Grizzlies season would have been over if the prognosticators had been correct about what Memphis was going to be this season. So it's icing on the cake in that way. You get to continue to watch Grizzlies basketball. This young team gets another training camp, which is going to be super valuable, like we've discussed multiple times. What I'm going to be looking for is exactly what you just said. Again, the goal this season was to convey the pick in my mind, which again, almost a lock to happen at this point. And another goal for me was to do the best to try to find out who's going to be long-term fits next to Jaren Jackson Jr. and Ja Morant. Brandon Clark may not be a long-term fit. It's possible in a year or two, a trade comes along that the Grizzlies like for a scoring wing, and Brandon Clark's the young player that makes that happen. It's possible that they think Jaren Jackson Jr. is a four, and that's where he's going to stay, and they continue to put Jonas Valanciunas and Gorgui Dieng-like bodies around Jaren throughout his time in Memphis. That's a possibility. I'm not saying it's, you know, probable. I think Brandon Clark has shown his worth. But my point is, Brandon Clark is not untouchable. You're still seeing how he fits alongside Ja Morant and Jaren Jackson Jr. I think that the Justice Winslow question is a fair one. Everything we're saying about Justice Winslow is hypothetical and based off of a player that we haven't seen in at least a year. He had flashes earlier in the season. He had a pretty good game in October, but he's had back issues all year long. He's been unhealthy in terms of his ability to stay on the floor. So you want to see if Justice Winslow is indeed that guy, because if he's not, his money's guaranteed in 2020, 2021, but then he's on a team option in the summer of 2021 or whenever the offseason goes. He's going to have a team option. So you're looking at a situation where if it doesn't work out, all you gave up was Jay Crowder, Solomon Hill, and Andre Iguodala, who wasn't going to play for you anyway, and you still have cap flexibility going into that major summer free agency of 2021 or free agency of 2021, again, whenever it happens. So the Grizzlies maintain long-term flexibility in their cap while acquiring a player that could be a long-term piece for them in Justice Winslow. I'm interested to see the small forward battle that we talked about earlier. Josh Jackson, the Grizzlies are kind of limited in what they can offer him because of the declining of his rookie extension or his rookie contract. The option that was attached to it. So they're limited in terms of what they can offer him technically, but you know, they can still offer him. They can keep him around if they like, but I don't see the point in keeping Kyle Anderson around if you make that choice. And Kyle Anderson was a signing of the previous front office back in a couple years ago. So it's not like the Kleimans and Princes of the world are attached to the idea of Kyle Anderson as a Memphis Grizzly. So is Kyle in the mix long-term? If Grayson Allen is healthy, does he get into the rotation? Does he get a look? You know, there's lots of different levels. What do you do with the two-way players? Is John Conchar somebody that can supplant Grayson Allen? These are all, you know, end-of-rotation conversations. But when you watch the Grizzlies as closely as we do, and I think more people will get into that mold because they thirst for basketball and professional sports so much, when you really dive into the roster and you look at it, especially on that back end, it's going to be an interesting competition for some guys to see who gets to hop on the carpet, so to speak, and ride with Ja and Jaren into hopeful title contention in the next few years. So that's what I'm going to be looking at, fit with Jaren and Ja and these little competitions here and there for not just playing time now in this sprint to the playoffs, but roster spots in the future.
Well, there you have it. I agree completely. I think that, you know, that's the big thing about it. While certainly the Grizzlies want to, you know, perform well, make the most of this opportunity, you know, in terms of what they have in the present, I think that it's very important, you know, whether it be different rotations, whatever it may be, but also fits, you know, for future financial decisions. I think it's a very, you know, they need to take advantage of what this is, and it's an opportunity to get a real good look at everybody being healthy and how they all fit. Well, you know, Joe, I can't thank you enough. As always, you know, you definitely, it's always a pleasure to talk with you, but, you know, especially taking the time right now with all that's going on and to do two episodes with us, can't thank you enough. Please, if you wouldn't mind, take a moment, just let everybody know, you know, any projects you may have coming up where they can find you, obviously, and anything else you want to end us with here on Locked On Grizzlies.
Sure. You can check out grizzlybearblues.com, where you're a writer and Mark used to be a writer and associate editor. Brendan Smart has done a great job covering Grizz Gaming. You know, that is an aspect of the organization that's still running right now. And he's our Grizz Gaming beat writer over at GBB. So check out the blog if you want to get into Grizz Gaming and the NBA 2K League. It's a great time to start. I watched my first full game a couple of days ago, and it was pretty cool to see how it all played out on TV. And I think they're getting more comfortable with the television broadcast of it. I enjoyed it more than I thought I would. So Grizz Gaming, following that a little bit more closely with Brendan, we had 5 articles up at the blog today. So lots of content. We're putting out at least 1 or 2 posts a day, whether it's, you know, draft prospect profiles, features. We talked about Grizz Gaming. There's all sorts of different things that we're still diving into. So our staff's working really hard over at grizzlybearblues.com. I'm thankful for them continuing to churn out content even during these tough times. And it sounds like, at least in terms of the NBA, obviously there's much more important things going on in the world. But with the NBA resuming, the content issues may be dying down for a little bit. So make sure you're making grizzlybearblues.com your place to come check stuff out. You can follow me on Twitter at Joe Mullinax. You can follow the blog at SBN Grizzlies.
And like I say, there's a reason why we always love having Joe and want to make sure that he continues to be a go-to source of conversation. He's as good as it gets when it comes to Grizzlies perspective and NBA perspective. And again, Joe, we can't thank you enough for being on with us. If you'll stick around for just a few seconds after the show, but thank you so much for listening to us here at Locked On Grizzlies. You can follow me at StatsSAC. You can follow Mark at King_producer, the show at Locked On Grizzlies. We certainly want to let you know if you have any type of feedback, please let us know via any of the different avenues that you listen to podcasts. And also, please let us know if you want to, you know, promote your business, whatever it may be. Reach out to Mark or myself. We'll be glad to talk with you about getting you on the show. For Sean Coleman, Joe Mullinax, thanks so much for joining us here on the Locked On Grizzlies podcast.